Our scripture reading comes from the 55th chapter of the book of prophet Isaiah, beginning with verse 1. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for all the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that be that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And actually, I'm going to continue with verses 12 and 13. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting song that shall not be cut off. I heard about a church up in northern New England, in a rural area. The congregation was struggling, and this church was a merger of an American Baptist congregation and the United Church of Christ congregation. Well, they still have both of their church buildings. The Baptist one was in the village, and that's where they worshiped in the wintertime, fall through the spring, actually, because it was easier to heat. The UCC building was a beautiful, big old meeting house, right on the same time period as this one, early 19th century, actually fairly similar in appearance, at least from the outside. And it was out in what would have been the farm country, in the back section of town, way up on a hill. You could see it from a long, long, long way. And sometime in the Victorian era, the congregation had decided that they needed to have a fellowship hall. And so one of the things that actually was pretty common, and if you can imagine this building, and that we decided, thank goodness we're not going to, but if we decided we wanted to make a fellowship hall, we would build a floor at the balcony level, and then take the balcony out, and then the sanctuary would be the top half. And the fellowship hall would be what used to be the floor of the sanctuary. So that's what they did. And then they kind of Victorianized it with stenciling and stained glass windows and stuff like that. So it didn't look anything like what we have here. Well, the congregations had merged because they were getting smaller. And some point, at one point, about 20 years ago, they decided that the Congregational Meeting House was in serious need of some repair. The steeple was about ready to blow over the next stiff wind. And the exterior of the building had cobwebs that were falling apart and rotting. And so they bit the bullet and they restored the exterior of the building. They took the steeple off, rebuilt the inside of the steeple, redid the exterior of the building, painted, replaced clappers. It was over $1 million worth of work. Because it was a historic building, they were able to get some grants. But they basically paid for it out of some pledges, but also from their endowment. And they streamed their endowment pretty significantly by paying for this work. But there's one thing that either they decided not to do or they simply forgot about. See, they left the interior just the way it was with the two floors. They did not put in an elevator. So the sanctuary was still on the second floor. And in effect, although I'm sure it was not intentional, what they did was they continued to have their sanctuary inaccessible to people who could not get up there using the stairs. And perhaps that sent a message of exclusion. I don't know. So in effect, what this congregation did was they restored their building to a past appearance. And yeah, they saved the building for the future by working on the exterior. But what was inside was still the same. And in fact, they really just looked toward the past and did not look toward the future at all. Friends, our text for today is very much about looking toward the future and not looking back toward the past. Now, I'm not talking about history and tradition, but the past in terms of past hurts and past wounds. This part of the book of Isaiah comes from the time when the exiles were still in Babylon. They thought that their time might be coming when they would be able to return to their homeland. Although in reality, very few of the people who were taken in exile were able to return in such a long period of time. It was their children and grandchildren that got back. But nevertheless, they wanted to go home. And this unnamed prophet brought this beautiful message of renewal, of hope, of putting the pain of the past and the offenses of the past in the past where it belonged and looking toward the future. And there's one little interesting thing that you might miss in this text that just jumps out when the prophet tells them that they shall call nations that they do not know. And nations that do not know them will run to them. Friends, in today's jaded world, what would you run to? What would you run to? Run, not walk. The people of Israel in exile, who need that message of hope and of forgiveness and of renewal, hear these words that when they return home, others are going to run to them. Because of what they see that is so good. People at that time were looking for renewal. Perhaps with nostalgia, we're told in some of the other prophetic books that as the new temple was erected, as the old one was restored, rather, that people wept for joy, remembering the glory of the former one. But this isn't really about nostalgia. This is about looking toward the future. And the thing that is going to be different, the prophet tells them, is that you are not going to be an exclusive community. Because people that don't even know you are going to come. People who are not a part of your faith community. This is an open-ended invitation for all to come. And part of that call, of course, is forgetting about the past. Forgetting about the hurts of the past. Forgetting about the offenses of the past. And moving forward. It's not an accident that in the midst of this promise of renewal that we find in this part of Isaiah, that we also find a message of forgiveness. As we come to God, we are going to experience pardon and forgiveness. Not forgetting the past, but not letting the burdens of the past, the injuries, failures, offenses, weigh us down. Instead, moving forward despite the past. And then we come to these wonderful words that I'll read again because they're just so good to hear. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Good thing to remember as we consider the pain of the past. It's good to remember that God wants us to let go of that past and continue. Sometimes we want to hold on. God wants us to let go. Because what is waiting in the future is good enough to set the past behind. So we come to this wonderful picture at the beginning of this text. It brings up to mind the image of somebody out in the marketplace. Perhaps a modern parallel might be somebody at a ballpark calling out that they have hot dogs and refreshments. But what is being offered doesn't have to be purchased. You can simply take it. And of course, in our minds, when something is offered for free, the first thing you think of is, well, what's wrong with it? Why are they giving it away? That's always the first thing that comes to mind. But there isn't anything wrong with it. It is full of grace. And it is something that we will run to. Because it will satisfy. Friends, what would you run toward? What would you run toward that was from God? We're in a dilemma in our society. We struggle with what will satisfy. And our society suffers with this desire to find satisfaction in ways that will harm us. Friends, we live in an age of addiction. There is an epidemic of addiction in our society. Addiction to substances, addiction to behaviors. And rather than confronting the pain of the past, it is easier to mask the pain of the past. And whatever behavior seems to work best. Friends, our world is drowning in anxiety and depression because we can't find what satisfies. But this vision here in Isaiah offers some hope, because what it is that will satisfy is different. It does not have a price tag on it. And it is in a place where you wouldn't expect it to be found. Costs nothing. And it is something that we are invited to run toward. Think back when you were a kid. There was something that you were just so excited about. It could be anything. So excited that you ran for it in anticipation. One of the Psalms tells us, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And I'm sure this prophet was familiar with that phrase. What we can run toward and what the church can offer as a vision, as a model, is a vision of grace. But we have to model it for ourselves before we can model it for others. Not to succumb to the competition that the world offers, not to succumb to the judgment that the world offers. There's too much of that already. The gift that the church can offer is grace of invitation, of inclusion without restrictions, and the offer to come and to buy, and to eat, but without money. Friends, God's call for the church, this congregation, but for the whole of the Christian church, is to be something that people will run to. So that is our mission. To run. To bring others to run toward the grace of God.